Hi everyone, it's Christina Herrick, produce editor for The Packer, here again with another Tip of the Iceberg podcast. This time I talk with Ray Hatch, CEO of Quest Resource Management, about why we should care about food waste and the solutions his company provides to reduce produce destined for landfills. Thank you so much, Ray, for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Christina. It's great to be here. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So why don't you tell our readers, and like I talked to you before we hit record, you know, we've got anywhere from growers, packers, shippers, and retailers of fresh produce. So tell our audience a little bit about your business.
You bet. Thanks. I'm lucky enough to work at Quest Resource Management Group, and Quest is a B2B only solution provider for businesses, and those solutions we focus on are waste and recycling, which over the years, I'm sure we'll talk about it, have become more and more of an area of emphasis and focus. So I'm glad to be in a spot that's becoming more more of an emphasis and focus than less. So we deal with a variety of businesses. I mean, I know we're talking about organic waste today. But we do a lot of heavy industrial. We do a lot of just traditional retail. We do everything from scrap metal to used motor oil to filters and many other things, along with a lot of organic waste and traditional waste.
Yeah. So maybe let's talk about the organic waste in general before we get into some of the solutions your company provides. So, you know, I know food waste is a big deal. You know, we constantly hear about it. So why should our readers care, or why should we be focusing more on that?
That is the big question. So let's focus on some of the things maybe that have changed over the last couple of decades that make it matter. Landfills are shrinking, not in size, but in number, maybe size too as well, I guess, when you think about it. I don't have the exact stats, but I think they're down probably over 20% in number of landfills out there over the last handful of years. That's not going to change. Permitting for new landfills is an extremely difficult thing to do. So people have had to get companies, industries that have become much more creative in how they deal with the byproducts of their business. And in this case, it's organic. So that is a huge one, because such a high percentage of the landfills are filled with organic material. And traditionally, in many cases, if not most cases, there's other places for that material to go than to the landfill. The landfill is our default because it's what we've always done. But when you get creative and you work with companies that have different solutions, you can find ways to cost effectively, and I'll emphasize that term, cost effectively, move materials to another use, a higher and better use.
Yeah. So maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the solutions that your company has come up with, and kind of why your company reached out to me to talk to me for the podcast.
Yeah. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to do that. It was probably about 10 years ago when a major Quest was actually the first to have a national food waste program, period, a national program. Food waste providers have been around for a while, but they're typically local and regional. So Quest, at the request of a very, very large customer with national coverage, wanted to put together a food waste program. And my predecessor, it wasn't me, the founder of the company, came up with a great solution to do that. Now, that back then, it was just simply picking up the food waste and taking it to a composter or animal feed, or maybe a little bit of anaerobic digestion. But that was for the unpackaged stuff. And so we had done that for a number of years. But then about 3 years ago, we developed something to go further, because the biggest problem we had, Christine, was packaged materials, organic materials, couldn't go to any of those things I just mentioned. So guess where they go? They go to the landfill. And so the impact, while significant, wasn't near what it could be. So our team went and put together a program that's a national program that allows, in this case, predominantly grocers And a big chunk of it is produce as well. To cost effectively, meaning we're able to divert up to 90%, 80 to 90% of the organic material away from landfills, which is before it was probably closer to 30% that was able to be diverted before we developed this program. This program involves depackaging, which is a capital investment, by the way, by these end users. So the depackaging and then the end use is traditionally composting, but it can be any of the others. It doesn't matter, animal feed or anaerobic digestion. But the main thing is taking packaged material, which is predominantly large percentage of the waste generated, and make it able to be diverted as well. We utilize reverse logistics in many cases with customers to make it extremely cost effective. You've got their DCs are sending trucks out and loading up. We have a packaging. We have a container that we've designed that is stackable, forklift, and it's lined with a biodegradable liner. And the material goes in there at the back of the store. It goes onto the truck. It gets consolidated at the distribution center, where then it becomes really cost effective to direct haul all of that to the end use. So it's a great example of a customer that's committed to large scale diversion that can also save a lot of money, but they work with us on the reverse logistics aspect. And so that's been really, and we even have a little bit, we have an example of one customer that's done the circularity aspect. I mean, that's a word that's so overused, but where the material was picked up, it went through this process, it goes to the composter, and it's coming back to the customer in the form of gardening products they can have in a bag. Oh, wow. Which is really, when you think about it, just such a neat little symmetry that this process enables to happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, anything to cut down on food waste, which obviously is, you know, as we've already talked about, is a huge concern, a huge issue, and something the produce industry is going to continue to have to deal with in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't put this down in the questions, but I think this is a great conversation to ask you. Is someone that wants to get involved and they're a retailer and they want to reduce their food waste, where's a good place to get started? What would you say is a great way to get started? Because there's a lot of options. There's a lot of things out there.
Yeah.
How do they get started and not get overwhelmed?
It's easy to get overwhelmed, and it's difficult. It's not that easy to get started. Of course, I'll make it a commercial. You can call us. But, we're not geographically limited since we go across all zip codes. But they can talk to their local waste provider and ask what type of diversion programs they have. Proganics is, they won't have that because that's patented to us. But there's other programs that can be done. I think what I would stress, Christina, is they need to actually talk to their waste provider. That doesn't happen a lot today because it's kind of a utility. It's an afterthought in most cases. And I truly understand why. And express a desire to develop more sustainable programs, whether it's with organic waste or others. But if that desire isn't being expressed, then the efforts to be able to create that form probably won't happen. So my suggestion would be the first thing to do is decide that that's important to you, and then reach out to your existing provider. And frankly, if he can't help you, he or she can't help you, I'd find another one. I really would. Because if you own landfills, and I'm not going to name names of companies, but companies that own landfills aren't really excited about pushing waste away from their most profitable line of business, which is landfills. So that's why I suggest that, you know, that they really need to push for somebody that can match their desire for sustainability. And I think all these businesses need a partner like that. And I would hope that all my competitors would be either in or moving in that direction as well.
Well, that's a great comment to kind of set me up for another question that I didn't have on the list to prepare you for. So hopefully you're very game so far. So, you know, and you can weave a little bit of your business into this, but, you know, what does the future hold for both, you know, food waste and reducing food waste and solutions and technology? I see kind of all of that probably kind of coming together. So, you know, where do you see the future of food waste going?
It's an interesting point in time where we are today. So there's several aspects of what you just asked. You mentioned technology, so I'm going to speak to that part, but there's other elements. There's a lot of money being invested today in solutions that are more practical for food waste. The more value we can create from that organic waste, the more the economics work to validate maybe longer transportation or, you know, whatever it happens to be. So when you can create a value of that material at the end of this cycle, then it makes everything else so much easier. The decisions are easier. You don't have to decide whether you want to be green or you want to be profitable. You know, that old thing is dead, you know, because a good sustainable program should yield you both, you know, and that's our goal. And I'm sure it's others as well. So there's going to be continuously more and more of these things come out. Right now, I would say my take is much of it's not ready for prime time, meaning it's still in development and probably not cost effective yet, but it's right around the corner, if not already almost there. So that's kind of the end. But then I want to back up a little bit. There's a couple things that are just really important in this about the future, where and why it's headed there. I believe, my personal belief, is there's two biggies. One is regulatory compliance. Every day, California, of course, leads the charge, but it's not a California thing. It starts on both cases, coasts, and it works its way to the middle. And ultimately, even Oklahoma has some concerns. I mean, I live in Texas, so we make fun of Oklahoma. But the only question is how fast. It's not a question of it's not going anywhere. It's definitely not backing up. So it's a question of how fast. And good businesses, and my experience has been dealing with a lot of good businesses and customers, is they're focused on the future and they're making investments in process changes and infrastructure changes so they can facilitate the future, not the past. And that is the future. So you've got the regulatory aspect, but then you also have a softer one maybe, and that's the stakeholder piece, the investors, the shareholders, and the customers. And I will tell you that a lot of customers for a long time have been kind of loud about wanting their suppliers, the retailers they buy from, to be more sustainable. But that's a very small and loud minority, and they did really impact the financials. But I will tell you what impacts the financials is when these large private equity firms and these large hedge funds, whether it be public or private, investment money is coming in with some demands for sustainable practices and sustainability plans. Companies are not, or many of these investor groups are not investing in companies that don't have that. Well, I will tell you, as a public company myself, if I'm not getting investors with a higher demand for what I'm doing and investing and buying shares, it's a real problem. Not that we wouldn't listen to consumers. I'm not saying they're not. But I will tell you, it's a pretty loud voice when the person who writes the checks that you use to make payroll, that's the future. And it's actually more almost today, but it's definitely.
Well, I think you brought up a really interesting point, and I think one that maybe we don't think enough about or get kind of lost in the shuffle is that the future's happening, but your point was it's just a matter of when or how fast, not if. And I think that's a really, really strong point to mention and to keep thinking about. You know, for me, as I'm covering sustainability efforts, it's happening. And it's like you said, it's just a matter of how quickly, how fast, and when. So, you know, I really love that you said that, because it's thought provoking. You know, yes, it is happening.
It is.
Yeah. So, you know, what else about food waste and the solutions your company provides, what else should our readers know and think about that I just didn't ask you about so far?
I missed a whole aspect that I'm sure Lee's thinking about right now that I should be answering. And it's about data and reporting, which we view as a huge differentiator for us. We've invested a lot on being able to track all these data points. And let me tell you what I'm talking about when I say that. When we pick up material at a, it's all businesses, by the way, we only do B2B. We pick up a material at a location, a manufacturing plant, a grocery store, whatever it happens to be. We log how much of that material. What is that material? Second, how much of it was there? When did we pick it up? So you have the frequency, and where is it going? And those are all very, very, very important. Because if you're that customer, that grocery chain, for example, in this particular scenario, you can say you're being sustainable, but if you can't validate it with data, it's a real problem. So we have a setup that where it's real time, relatively close to real time, where you can sign in as the person in charge of this whole grocery store chain, or the regional guy, or even the local guy. You get to see your performance, and we call it performance. We actually call it waste performance, which sounds a little weird, but you want to see how your waste is performing for you, because it's become so much more integral in your business. So you're able to see that in macro and in micro. You can look at just one material, or you look at one store or a whole district, however you want to do it. It's a BI tool structure, which I found to be by far the most flexible and most importantly actionable. Christina, so many companies provide data, and I've seen it. First of all, it's like monthly accumulation. Second, it's a spreadsheet. You know, it's stagnant. And third, the question is, based on the time and the data, how actionable is it really? So when we look at what we create to give back to the customers as far as reporting and data, we try to envision how actionable is it. If I was on the other side of this, decisions could I make? What could I understand? How could I make my company better with this data? And so that is, I can't tell you how important that is, Christina, because sustainability or diversion in and of itself, it's not hugely difficult. If you got a Rolodex and some time, you know, you can find people to do so. But this collection of the data that rolls up to you, if you've got 1,000 locations, you don't want to sit there and try to put together 1,000 different of these reports. You can't roll them up. And so that's, I guess what I'm saying is you got to have that rearview mirror into what you've been doing. You decide what you're going to do. You get a partner to help you execute it. And then you have a process to see what that action is yielding for you.
Yeah. And you bring up another great point, which I think is kind of, I don't know if I want to call it the next frontier, although I don't really know that that's the right thing, is just, you know, the produce industry generates a ton of data. All of this new technology that's coming around or will be coming around is going to generate data, but it's trying to find actionable ways to utilize that data and to understand that data. So it's not just data for data's sake, I think is really the biggest and most important element of data. You know, you've got to, it's just numbers. Otherwise, or like you said, or a spreadsheet, you know, it has to be something that you can learn from, adjust from, and make smart decisions with. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. I'm sorry I didn't ask you, but that's kind of why I always have one of those questions about, like, well, what else should we talk about that I didn't ask about? So that's what those questions are always for, and they always bring great insights. So I always love to have one of those. So,
I'm happy to, Christine. We've known this for a while. Our belief, is that we've believed this for a long time. And so our focus has been on that. Data for data's sake is a phrase you just used, which I think is great. And because I will tell you, it's prevalent far outside of the sector we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. So you've got to give it that litmus test. Like one of the things that one of our goals around this waste performance data is to give you, the customer, the grocery store chain owner, whatever, data that can be actionable. So what, besides, here's a key point, for example. Let's say you have a food waste program, same program in place. You've got two stores, one in Phoenix, one in Atlanta, and they have the same footprint, roughly the same volume, but you've got so much more food waste tonnage coming from this one and so little over here. So that causes you as the operator, you know, they ask us, that's actually happened. You know, what's causing that? Well, we don't know. But, you know, good BI tools and data don't answer your question, and they tell you what question to ask, right? And so you go out and you find maybe there's a compliance issue, like somebody's not really going with the program in this store, or maybe there's a temperature inventory issue over here that's causing, and we all know your readers and listeners know what a couple of degrees in a cooler can do to spoilage. It's a huge difference. A marginal difference in temp creates a huge difference in shrink and spoilage. So this data kind of points you in a direction for these operators, hopefully, to keep their operations running as well as possible.
You know, as you were talking about it, that's exactly what I was thinking, is a scenario where you have a chain of stores and one store just happens to have more food waste. And I think you even indicated that it's breakdown by commodity. So if, you know, let's say your strawberries seems to be something that you're generating a lot more food waste on, you might be able to go in and start to understand where that's coming from.
You can, as long as it's recorded somewhere, Christina, envision this. This stuff goes in the bins and then it goes to the wherever it's going to go. As long as it's being recorded at some point in the process, the data can show it. If it's not being reported, if it's being lumped in, obviously that'd be really difficult.
Yeah.
We always strive for it to be as finite as we can in the data we collect. Again, going back to trying to be helpful, the most information, just data for data's sake. I've seen this. I've been in this business a while. And some of those big names, I've seen what they give. And it basically is an invoice each month that shows, and they give you how many tons they threw away for you, and here's the invoice. Now, I'm not saying that's overly simplistic. There's more out there. But it doesn't look like it was approached from the direction of how can this help the operator? Yeah, and that's the way you've got to approach this.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, obviously, you want your business to continue to stay in business, but I'm sure some of your goals are, too, to help your clients cut back where they can and see some efficiencies where they can. And that's the ultimate goal of everyone, is just to reduce as much food waste as possible and meet some of those environmental goals that are being set out.
And they're growing. The demands are growing. If they're not, I'm concerned for companies that don't have some sort of initiative in that direction today, because it's hard to catch up. It's not a let's do it on Monday kind of thing. It's got to start to become part of your culture. We actually report some of this back. We have a couple of customers, maybe more than a couple, but I'm thinking of them that want this data back as to how many X tons of these different materials that they recycled or they diverted, so they can show their employees what they're doing. That's so important. These customers have tons of employees, and you want your employees to feel good about where they work and what they do. And if we can provide something that shows them how their employer is being a responsible citizen, their corporation, it's helpful for their relations with their employees as well. So there's multiple uses for these types of things, for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've done numerous articles in previous roles on just generational shifts. And obviously, as younger employees get involved in businesses, that's a bigger and bigger and bigger draw for them, is not necessarily environmental sustainability. I mean, that is a big part of it, but it's also kind of understanding their role in a bigger picture and transparency overall from companies. So hearing that this data can then help communicate what's going on within the company is also great to hear too.
Well, Christine, I appreciate it. It's always great to have an opportunity to talk about what we feel is so important. And I get the luxury, or not the luxury, the privilege of representing a whole bunch of folks at Quest that work very hard at this every day. And we appreciate the chance to talk about it. Thank you.
I just want to say a huge thank you again to Ray Hatch, CEO of Quest Resource Management, for joining me on the podcast and talking about food waste and data and kind of where we are and where we're going with food waste. And I also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. Don't forget, you can tune in to Tip of the Iceberg podcast on your favorite podcast platform, including Google Play, Spotify, Apple, and more. And that's a wrap for this edition of Tip of the Iceberg, brought to you by The Packer and PMG Magazine. Join us again soon for more industry insights. Bye!